When I was growing up, one of my pastors, in fact, the pastor that married my mom and dad, and the pastor that I surrendered to preach under, his name was Edgar Roberts. His wife's name, and I've told you about him before, he was one, I told you, get up every morning, find a window that looked toward the east, and would ask the question, Lord, are you coming today? Come quickly, Lord Jesus, as John wrote. His wife's name was Velma. She was a sweet, sweet, dear lady. She was one of my grandmother's best friends. And I, because of that, she would spend a lot of time at my grandma's house, and I spent a lot of time at my grandma's house, and so we interacted on a social basis. I was just a kid, but I can remember her saying on several occasions, don't send flowers to my funeral, give them to me now. Now, I used to think that she was talking just about flowers, because she loved flowers. The times that we went over her house, she always had flowers around. And I understood that you couldn't enjoy flowers when you were dead. And so what she was saying is, hey, if you're going to give me flowers, I'd rather give them to me now while I can enjoy them as opposed to send them to my funeral when I'm dead and I can't enjoy them. And so I thought at first she was talking just about flowers. But with time, I came to understand that she was talking about more than flowers. She was talking about love. She was talking about kindness. She was talking about compliments. She was talking about time. She was talking about conversation. She was talking about fellowship. The title and the subject of my message this morning is this: If you love me, tell me now. If you love me, tell me now. I may not be here tomorrow. Today is the only sure day that we have. And so, If you love me, tell me today. If you're going to be kind to me today. If you're going to compliment me today. If you're going to spend time with me, spend time with me today. If you're going to fellowship with me, do it today. Don't wait for tomorrow. I may be gone tomorrow, and you won't get to do it. I won't get to enjoy it. And in all probability, if you don't do it, you're likely to be filled with regrets. I can't tell you how many times I've stood... No, sit down. Stay out of my preaching. I was only using myself as an illustration. This is every single person can say this. Now, let me get serious again. I can't tell you how many times I've stood right down here, or I've stood in a funeral home by a casket with a spouse, with a child, with a grandchild, with another family member or a friend, and I've heard them say something like this: I wish I had spent more time with the person that was laying in the casket. I wish I had expressed my love more often to that person. I wish I had called and talked to them more often. This morning, I'm going to look at David, a father with many regrets. And I do so to make the point: if you love somebody, tell them today. If you love somebody, tell them now. The verses that we read a moment ago from 2 Samuel chapter 18 describes David's reaction when he heard that his son Absalom had been killed. I mean, as you read there at the end of verse 18, your heart can't help but break as you hear him say, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, Absalom, oh Absalom, my son." It was a cry of regret from a father, wishing that he could go back and have a do-over with his son Absalom, I think in three different areas. And I want those areas form the basis of my message this morning. I think David had regrets and wanted a do-over when it came to discipline. It's apparent that David didn't discipline his children very much. And I'll remind you this morning, and I know most of the kids have gone, and so I'm glad they're not hearing me say this, but discipline is one of the ways that we love our children. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 13, verse 24, the Bible says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." And so I think that you could say about David that he spared his rod when it came to his children. David had a son named Amnon. And you know the story, most of you know it. He raped his half-sister, Tamar, who was Absalom's full sister. The Bible says that when David heard of it, he was very wroth. He got very, very mad. But there's no record, absolutely no record in the Word of God that David administered any discipline or punishment or any consequences at all for Amnon. Absalom waited 2 years. He waited 2 years for his dad to do something to his half-brother that had raped his sister. And when David did nothing for 2 years, Absalom took matters into his own hands. He had his servants kill his brother Amnon. If David had been the kind of father that God wants all fathers to be, if David had loved his children and let that love show up in the form of discipline, perhaps this part of the Bible would be different. Perhaps Amnon might not have even raped his half-sister. Perhaps Absalom might not have had to kill his brother. And as David mourned Absalom's death, I think he was full of regrets and he wished that he had done more when it came to disciplining his children. I'll remind you this morning, our children belong to God. We are His caretakers. Children cry out today to their parents. And we don't hear these words, but they cry out today, "If you love me, tell me now." Our children, your children, my children, they want boundaries. And they want consequences when they cross those boundaries. That's one of the ways that we show them we love them. That's one of the ways we show them that we care. And so they cry out, moms and dads, again, that you won't hear the words, "Hey, please discipline me. Please punish me when I do wrong." But they cry out, "If you love me, tell me now. Tell me now." David was full of regrets. I think he had regrets when it came to the matter of forgiveness. Forgiveness. After Absalom killed his brother Amnon, he fled and lived away from his father with his grandfather. David never called him to come home. He missed him. He wished that he would come home, but he never called him to come home because he never forgave Absalom. Joab, David's general, noticed that David was missing his son, and so he put together a story. What happens when I go on vacation for a week? I can't talk. He concocted a story, and he got a woman to go to David and tell the story of her two sons and how they fought, and one of them killed the other, and they were ready to kill the other son as punishment. And the lady said, I won't have any children left. And David felt sorry for her, and the lady looked back and he said, "Who's ever trying to kill your other son, I won't let it happen." And the lady pointed her finger at David and said, "Well, you've done the same thing to us. One of your sons killed his brother, and you let him stay in exile. Why don't you invite him back home?" And David got the point of that story, and he told Joab, "Okay, send somebody to tell Absalom to come home." But you know what happened when Absalom came home? David would not let him come into his presence. He hadn't forgiven his son. In fact, for Absalom to see David, he sent for Joab. He wanted Joab to come so he could send Joab to David and said, "Hey, I'm home. Let me come into your presence. You asked me to come home. Let me see you." Joab didn't want to come. You remember that was the occasion that Absalom burned his barley field so that Joab would come and see him. And Joab went to David on Absalom's behalf and said, "You need to let your son come into your presence." And he did. Finally did. But as he mourned Absalom's death, I think he was full of regrets. And I think he wished that he had been more forgiving. If there are people in your life this morning that you haven't forgiven, if you love them, tell them now. Forgive them. You say, "Preacher, you don't know what they did to me." You're right. I don't know what they did to you. But I know what we did to God. And I know that God forgave us. And I know in the model prayer, when Jesus taught us how to pray, he said, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And I know that the two verses that in the book of Matthew that come right after the model prayer say this: "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Amen. If you love somebody, tell them now. If you love somebody, forgive them now. Don't let it fester. Don't let it turn into bitterness. Don't let a time come after they're gone that you'll have to stand here at a funeral home and you'll say, "I wish I had forgiven them. Oh, I wish I had forgiven them." David was full of regrets. I think he had one more do-over that he would like to have. And that was a do-over when it came to facing a situation head-on with his kids. Absalom rebelled against his father. He raised an army. He got some of David's advisors to defect from David's camp and to join him. He stole the hearts of some of the people. Now, even after that was done, David's forces were stronger. Because in the battle that followed, David's forces defeated Absalom's forces. But when Absalom came against David, David ran. He ran away. He fled Jerusalem. He took his family and he took his army and they ran away from Absalom and his army. Why? Why did he run? I think he ran because he didn't want to face the situation. I don't know what his plan was. I don't know what his intent was. Did he think that if he just ran away that the situation would somehow get better? I mean, if he ran away and didn't face it head on, did he think that, hey, it would just get better on its own? It was never God's plan for Absalom to be king. Never was. God had put David on the throne, and God would keep him on the throne. But David ran because he didn't think God could handle the situation between him and his son, Absalom. So instead of staying and standing and facing the situation, he ran. And as he mourned Absalom's death, I think he regretted not staying and letting God work. I don't know this morning the situation that may have estranged you from somebody that you should love. From a brother, a sister, a parent, a child, a grandparent, a grandchild, an aunt, an uncle, a cousin, a friend. I mean, you fill in the list if I've left somebody out. I don't know the situation. If you're estranged from one of those people, I don't know the situation that has caused that. I do know that people can be wicked and mean. I do know that people do terrible things to one another. I do know that we can get into horrendous, impossible situations when it comes to the relationships that we have with other people. But I also know that we have a God that can do anything. A God that can heal the most broken of relationships. Amen. That's what he did for us. Huh? That's what he did for us. We're all sinners. And our sin separates us from our God. I mean, we were made to fellowship with God. We were made to be part of his family. But our sin broke that relationship. And there was no hope. There was no hope. There was absolutely no hope that we could do anything to mend the broken relationship that we had with God. But God fixed it. God fixed it. He sent his perfect, sinless Son to die in our place, to pay for our sins, to take away the very thing that broke our relationship with him. Now listen, if Jesus can do that for us and God, don't you think he could do that for us and another human being? If Jesus could fix the broken relationship between us and God, don't you think that Jesus has the power and the ability to fix a broken relationship between us and another human being? I do. I think he has that power. If you're not saved this morning, you need to trust Jesus to heal your broken relationship with God. And if you're here today and you have a broken relationship with another person, you need to trust him to heal that relationship too. Don't wait. Don't wait. If you love them now. If you're going to forgive them now. Don't wait before you stand beside a casket and say, "Oh, I wish I had done something to fix the relationship that we should have had. I wish I would have done something so that I wouldn't have the regret of knowing that they've gone out into eternity and we had this broken relationship." Here's the invitation this morning. If you're not saved, I want you to come and see me. I'll be right down here in just a minute. I'll have somebody take the Bible and show you from the Bible how Jesus can fix the broken relationship that you have with God. And if you're here today and you have a broken relationship with somebody else, I don't want you to tell me. I don't need to know. And you don't need to tell God, because he already knows. But you do need to trust him to heal it. You do need to ask him to heal it. So I'm going to ask you to come this morning. If you have a broken relationship with somebody, I'm going to ask you to come this morning, kneel at this altar, and give it to God. You say, "I can't heal it myself. I'm not sure I even want to." But I don't want you to be a person that on a day in the future stand beside a casket and regret not asking God to help you heal that relationship. And not asking God to show you what it's going to take to heal that relationship. And not asking God to give you a heart that says, "I want that relationship to be healed." Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. Oh, Absalom, my son, I hope nobody in this room this morning has regrets when it comes to people that we should love. If you love me, tell me now. Tell me now. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the examples that you put in the Bible of men like David, who made mistakes, who regretted those mistakes. You put them in there so that we don't have to make the same mistakes. We can learn from theirs. And I pray this morning you would drive this message into the hearts and minds of every single person that's here. If we love somebody, help us to tell them today. Today's the only day we have. If we love them, help us to forgive them. If we love them, help us, Father, to come and to lay the broken relationship that we have at your feet and say, "Dear God, give me a heart that wants it healed and show me what I need to do my part to heal it." I pray for those that are here that don't know Jesus. They have a broken relationship with you. There's no way they can fix it. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." And I pray you'd help every single person that's here that still's not right with you, dear God, to come to Christ, to let him do the work that he accomplished on Calvary in their life and restore that relationship with you. Please, Father, bless this invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to do what you direct us to do. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.